Hey, this is Xenos Alchemist. First, we're going to hear a band called Gamage. Their song that I love so much is called Parasite.
Hi, this is Xenos Alchemist, a modern synthesis podcast. This week is going to have kind of a bunch of interviews in it and some audio that I was able to record with the winners down in Dallas.
Can you tell me the five people who won Inner Circle?
Absolutely, you bastard.
I can guess their names. Is there a guy named Jake?
You can guess them, can you?
Jake, Tim, Curtis?
No Curtis.
There's a guy like with Alton.
Okay, you have the list in front of you, you jerk.
I thought. All right.
So the five winners of Games Workshop Inner Circle are, in no particular order, Tim Trentacost, who won in the 8th Street New York City Games Workshop. So his force was a blended kind of Gathering Storm thing where he had, I think he had all of the heroes from the Gathering Storm campaign, and then mostly Imperial forces supporting them, but I think there was Eldar mixed in there as well.
Did he have, so like, a sweet Brooklyn accent, like, hey, I'm walking here!
He's actually from Jersey.
Ah, shit. But
I don't know. I don't feel like he had a crazy accent. They probably thought I had a crazy accent. So, Tim. Then we've got Anton. Anton Hand. He won at Games Workshop Central Avenue in Los Angeles. And his force was a combined Ordo's force. So he had Ordo Hereticus, Ordo Malleus, or whatever we're calling Demon Hunters, Ordo Xenos. And it was actually led by an Ordo Xenos Inquisitor. And Anton had been out of the hobby for a long time, got back into it in January just for this competition pretty much, and he has mind-numbing conversions.
Is Anton the guy who plays Age of Sigmar?
No, that's Jake. Okay. We'll get to him later. Okay. So Anton, the cool thing that Anton showed me is that when he was first playing 40K, he actually got into Inquisitor, like the large-scale game that they used to have, and he scratch-sculpted a Fire Warrior, a Grey Knight, things from Sculpty, and he did a pretty damn good job, and they were, like, large-scale, and he painted them. He showed me a picture. Very impressive. So, yeah, he was our second winner, Anton. Third winner was Chris Donahue. I'm not actually sure how to pronounce Chris's last name. Sorry about that, Chris. He won at Kent Station Kent, which I'm told is in Seattle. His force was a bunch of really awesome orcs. And he's not a player. He's just someone who likes converting and painting. And he was really excited to be part of the Inner Circle. And then the fourth winner was Jake Beachboard, who won City Walk, the City Walk store in Atlanta. He brought a mind-blowing Adeptus Mechanicus army. He built this giant Doom Barge thing. You got to look it up. Like, if you go to Facebook and you just type in Inner Circle Games Workshop, there's pictures of all these models on there. And Jake's is the army that really blew me away. So then the fifth winner is, of course, me. Mr. Pink, otherwise known as Nick Jones. So I won in the Toronto Young and Lawrence store, and I brought my Gene Sealer cult.
So, if I gave you a ticket to go visit any one of those other four guys, which guy would you go see? Don't be Canadian about it. Come on now.
1 second, blowing my nose.
Oh, shit. Oh, I'd visit everybody. They're the greatest. Who's the one guy you want to go see again? What the fuck are you doing blowing your nose?
I turned off my mic to blow my nose. You're a dick. Don't make me choose.
You gotta choose one.
If I had to choose one person, I'd choose, oh God, why did I forget his name? Pete. Awesome Pete, who wasn't one of the winners. What's his name? Underwood? Pete Underwood? He's the hobby master at Games Workshop Dallas, and I found out that we're hobby soulmates. He also has Tyranids, he also has Gene Sealer Cult, and he also has specifically Dark Eldar, but only Homunculus Coven. I'd go visit Pete. But anyway, if I had to pick one of the winners, they're all, like, we got really lucky that all these guys were really spectacular. So I could easily go and show with any one of them. But I think I have a special spot in my heart for Anton, because me and Anton chilled on Friday night. He came out and got, like, tacos with me after everyone else had already eaten, because I got in so late. And he's a really chill dude. So I've never been to L.A. I'd go see Anton. In the afternoon on Saturday, as part of Inner Circle, one of the last things we did was we did these interviews with Games Workshop, and the rest of us had hobby time, just before we departed. And during that time, I took the opportunity to ask each of, well, not each, I asked three of the winners a set of questions that me and Brother Pink had come up with. I wasn't able to talk to Tim, unfortunately, because he'd left early. So we're going to try and edit him in here using some magic. You should probably ask me the questions that we asked the other guys.
Hey, Mr. Pink, how about I ask you those
questions?
Sounds great,
Brother Pink. I'm glad you thought of that.
Okay, so question the first. Your name and where are you... Do I have to ask you number one?
You probably don't. Okay, so what happened was the first question I asked them was if they're the name, where they're based, and what army they submitted to the Inner Circle. So my name is Nicholas Jones, Nick Jones, Mr. Pink. I'm based in Toronto, Ontario, and I submitted my Gene Sealer cult for Inner Circle.
What 40K costume could you believably pull off?
Well, I'm pretty pasty white, so I think I could be a Gene Sealer neophyte, no problem. Just get some weird glasses.
All right. Nice.
What would your costume be?
I would also be a Gene Sealer, but I would be a acolyte because my right arm is actually slightly deformed. I'm missing a pectoral on the right side, so I can like put my arm over my head so that both my left arm and my right arm are on my left side of my body.
Forgot you could do that.
It looks like my right arm is just like poking out of my back. Get like a mannequin arm for my right arm so it looks like I have a normal right and left arm with this like crappy prosthesis hanging over my head, but then it turns out that the prosthesis is actually my arm and I could like scare the shit out of
so I'd be a neophyte and you'd be an acolyte. I like it. All right, next question.
Okay, number three, when did you get into 40K and what got you started?
So I got into 40K in the ninth grade. I don't know how old you are in the ninth grade. I think you're like 13 or something, 14. And I got started with Tyranids because I was supposed to buy someone's dark someone's Ultramarines off them for you. And then instead they're like, oh, have you thought about 40K? Oh, you should go talk to that guy over there about Tyranids. And he showed me Tyranids and I was sold.
What was the oldest model on your Inner Circle board?
This is tough because pretty much all my models were new. I had some Battle from a Crag Gene Sealers in there. They were the ones that were under the cloaks. But the oldest model would be one of the arms on my Acolyte Icon Ward. In my Icon Ward, I have one arm from each generation of Gene Sealer models, so that would be the oldest.
Do you have a rough estimate of how much time you spent on this board or army?
A shit ton. I know that I tracked it in April, and in April I spent 118 hours on it. But I know that I was probably spent more than that in February because I wanted to shoot myself in the face because it was squadulary. So yeah, January, February, March, and April, I was working on it a little bit in May, and I would estimate at least 300 hours, if not probably a lot more.
Next question. Who is the one person who you wish could be here with you at GWHQ Dallas? Don't
say
me.
We've already talked about this. I'm going to say you because you're the one who got me to do this because you're the one who challenged me to paint as many models as I could between January and March, and you would probably appreciate it a lot more than my Norn Queen would, because you're a dork.
So then I shoot you down, and you have to choose somebody else. Who do you choose?
Josh, because he would also appreciate it.
Cool.
And I tried to get Josh to come with me, but they were being very cagey about what he would be able to do and what he wouldn't be able to do, but they couldn't pay for his ticket, so he would have paid $600 to get down to Dallas for not really clear what he's going to be doing for 24 hours and then fly back.
He could be the spy at the restaurant taking notes and then, like, divulging everything he heard.
There you go.
After this project, what do you never want to paint again?
Oh, God, Gene Sealer. I can never pronounce it properly. Chitin?
Okay.
The stupid-ass carapace stuff, because...
I thought it was Chitin.
Chitin? I never want to paint Chitin ever again, but I'm going to have to because I love Tyranids. But it's the Chitin on Gene Sealer Acolyte arms. There's no clear idea of where to highlight it, and I hate it so much.
Okay, next question. Pewter, love it, hate it, never touch the stuff.
Hate it. It can go and die in a fire.
Okay. Next question. What unit or element of your board are you most in love with that you don't think people will notice?
Well, in terms of, like, the physical board, I put tea lights in all the tunnels, but they don't glow very brightly. And I like the idea that there's, like, these torches of light down the different, like, sewer tunnels. But in terms of models, one of the things that I'm most proud of that I want people to notice is the fact that the Acolyte Icon Ward is supposed to look like the front piece from the old Gene Sealer cult codex.
Cool. Okay. What is your favorite 40K Xenos race, or which Xenos race would you most like to dissect?
Well, it's pretty obvious. I think that my favorite 40K Xenos race is Tyranids. So I think I'd most like to dissect Vespid, the weird servient race for Tau, because I feel like there's a lot of potential in Vespid that hasn't been realized.
I want to make Vespid that look like Dr. Zoidberg.
You know I made one of my metamorphs to look like Zoidberg, right?
Oh, yeah? Cool.
Yeah, he's got like a crab claw and he's got like a weird tentacle face.
Okay, next question. Which other Inner Circle army were you most worried about losing to?
So you'll see in the interviews that I did with the other guys that we did this on the regional level, like in your store, which army were you most worried about losing to? And then like in like the finals, which army were you most worried about losing to? So in the local store in Toronto, the army I was most worried about losing to was Chris Souza's Raven Guard. He has a beautiful Raven Guard force. He's got female Marines in there that are actually make sense for his fluff. He does an amazing job, and I think I only beat him because he painted a lot of his army for Armies on Parade last year, so he kind of did some work during the Inner Circle period, but not a ton of it. On the Canada-wide level, there's a dude named David Koska. I think he's actually from the States, but he entered in Burlington, and he's got this crazy AdMech army that he's painted it all to be wood grain, and he's got all these amazing conversions. So you should go check out his stuff. If you go on Instagram and you put in KOSZKAMADE, that's him. He's at Koskamad. He's got a really wicked army that I was worried about losing to.
Next question, which faction has the best helmets in 40K?
Incubi have the best helmets in 40K, and possibly their old helmets with the weird scorpion heads were even better, but Incubi have the best helmets in 40K.
If you had another Inner Circle competition, what force would you bring?
If it was 40K, Tyranid Hunter Groot.
What was the last thing you bought from GW?
Despite the fact that we all just pre-ordered a whole bunch of 8th edition stuff, the last thing I bought from Games Workshop... Oh, before Inner Circle was the Palador Chargers, the Stormcast Kokobos.
Okay, next question. If we were at a shooting range and I handed you a plasma pistol to shoot at a car 20 feet away, would you do it, knowing the likelihood that it would explode?
Yes. It's a plasma pistol. Hell yeah.
Last question. If you had to choose a single large-scale Age of Sigmar model to be your personal bodyguard in that universe... which would you choose? Also, you cannot say someone like Nagash because he's not meant for riding.
Archaon's dragon, because he's badass. That three-headed dragon thing. If I had to choose a mount, I really want one of those Palador Chargers, man. I want to ride a Ben on a Chocobo.
I would choose the... it's part of the undead guys. It's like a three set. There's three different people riding on this like floating...
the dragon thing.
Yeah, and I feel that it looks a lot like Bahamut from Final Fantasy.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I'd ride that.
You're way better at this shit than I am. That's a really good choice.
It's because I'm asking you questions that I've thought about for years.
Okay, now you've heard my questions. Let's hear what the other people say. Right now, you're going to hear actually from the winners, from Anton, Chris, and Jake.
So, could you please tell me your name, where you're based, and what army you submitted for Inner Circle?
My name is Anton. I'm based in Los Angeles, the Central Ave store, and the army I submitted was the Inquisition one.
Nice. What 40K costume could you believably pull off?
Probably a pudgy drill abbot.
Okay. What's a drill abbot?
Just an ecclesiarchal figure of some kind.
Okay. And when did you get into 40K, and what got you started?
I got into 40K back when I was 11. Originally, and it was during a period of time where I'd been playing Magic with a group of kids around me because that was what everyone was doing, and it didn't really do much for me. And then another kid in the neighborhood had just gotten the Fantasy 5th Edition box, and especially because I was an artist from a really young age, the idea of having to actually like put together your guys and paint them and envision their stories was so much more compelling to me, because even playing Magic back in the day, it was about the pictures and the story on the cards than the game. Yeah. And so that was my bridge into Warhammer was sort of rocking. Oh, this is centered on that.
And what was your first army?
Bretonians.
Nice. Oh. Well, they're not around right now, but maybe soon.
Here's hoping. I'll start caring about Sigmar when they are.
What is the oldest model on your Inner Circle board that you have?
The very first Adeptus Mechanus miniature with a 1985 date on it It's a gnarly sculpt, but it's so charming.
Can you describe him for people? Because this is a podcast. So.
Yeah, his helmet looks kind of like a Mark VI Beaky Space Marine's helmet, because all the early Adeptus Mechanus miniatures were wearing Space Marine-esque powered armor. But then there's just all sorts of random little almost scroll-worky kind of noisy details all across him. He's got chainmail on his ass, and just a sweet-looking ornamental axe. And this is like pre-servo arm on the back of the tech priest, so he sort of just looks like a really ornamented space marine with a two-handed axe. But I love him. And his shoulder sigils don't match. This was before the gear motif was present for Adeptus Mechanus, so his shoulder symbol read doesn't look like anything else.
Okay. Do you have a rough estimate of how much time you spent on this board slash army?
Well, I started the army about a week after the Inner Circle contest began. So everything's everything's been made after that. If I averaged it out, it was probably something over the course of the whole contest, probably 20-some hours a week.
Wow, okay. And that would be, what is that, like 4 months? February, March, April.
3 months.
3 months.
Oh.
Okay. All right. And who's the one person who you wish could be here with you at GWHQ in Dallas?
Oh, my girlfriend, Jen. My painting station is right in the same room right next to where she is on her computer. And she knits and she paints and does digital art. So it was one of the wonderful things about working on this army is that she was always there right next to me as we were sort of doing our own crafts at the same time.
That's perfect. I want to get my girlfriend doing more art stuff because she's very talented, but she doesn't think she is. And she keeps saying, I need to find a hobby. I'm like, let's do this. But that's wicked.
And she'd always change my painting water for me.
Oh, my God. That's
true love right there, man.
You sure she's still your girlfriend? She changed your painting water, man?
Yup.
All right. after this project, what do you never want to paint ever again?
Anything with fucking Xandri dust ever again. Fuck Xandri dust. I cannot stand that paint after doing my 10 like tech guardish miniatures. Just actually getting a smooth coat with it over black primer. I was ready to just eat a gun.
Okay.
I used it on 10 of close to the first minis on the army, and I never returned to that color for the rest of the army.
Yep.
Ugh.
Pewter, love it, hate it, or never touch the stuff?
I feel so super nostalgic about it. You know, I was away from the hobby for a number of years. I just came back to it again in January, and I love the new GW plastic. The sharpness of the detail, the modularity of some of the kits, but it's not so much the pewter itself, but the types of minis that were made out of it in the 90s are some of my favorites.
Cool.
Especially the sort of the one-piece ones.
Because you and I had a conversation last night about how you can capture certain details in pewter that you really can't do in plastic.
Yeah, because the mold can flex a little bit, whereas with the sort of injection-molded plastic, it has to straight pull away, and so there are certain sorts of, like an example is like, I love the new AdMech miniatures, but the fact that there's a attachment seam running down the side of the fabric on every single one of the Vanguard / Rangers it's irritating to deal with, and frankly put, the cloth shape isn't dynamic. You compare that to, say, an Imperial Preacher model from the 90s, and the flow of that fabric, there's no contest.
Yep.
So, and that's why a whole bunch of those minis are in my army.
Nice. What unit or element of your board are you most in love with that you don't think people will notice?
Well, aside from the little dick butt meme that I hid on the book in one of my acolytes, which I have to point out to people, I don't know. I'd probably say that people wouldn't notice that much. Probably my little for my little Cenobites, which start as sort of night goblin bodies. Every single one of their heads is completely different from probably 6 or 7 different sorts of kits for them. I shaved just the front of the goblin face on, and then used pieces of faces from other miniatures to give them all that sort of weird and bespoke look.
Nice. Do you have them here?
Yep.
Okay, I'd like to see them later. What is your favorite 40K Xenos race? Or what would you most want to dissect if you don't sully yourself with dirty Xanos?
I don't know. For me, probably the Eldar, just because of their history. Especially, like, one of the cool things about coming back to the hobby after being away was seeing how much the fiction that before had just been implied has been filled out since then. So reading about the Eldar history, more of what the Webway is, what the Eldar gods actually were, was wild to return and actually have those answers. And it made the Eldar so much more interesting to me, knowing what their society was built upon. And, you know, just the Webway has always been that thing that has always stimulated my imagination so much.
I can empathize with that. And like the Black Library and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah, that's just the sort of like, that despite having this sort of mystical element to everything, it's all just machines. They're just psychic machines.
Yes.
But it's still just machinery. And then rethinking the way in which the Eldar gods are just these sort of ancient constructs that have sort of lost their way or some of their core directives. Mm-hmm. And the sort of Black Library is this like automated craft world that just protects itself. To what end? Giant question mark.
Cool. I think we might have talked about this last night, but which other Inner Circle army were you most worried about losing to?
In my store, there's an incredibly painted army by a absolutely delightful fellow, Lance. Real airbrushed base coat, incredibly clean painting, like economical use of color, the sort of like value range of everything across, despite the hue variance of the army, in that he had Death Guard, he had Emperor's Children, he had a whole bunch of different Chaosy stuff, but because of the way that he controlled the value range and hue variance, it felt so coherent.
Really?
So aesthetically strong.
Okay.
I was deeply intimidated by that because I'm not a clean painter, by and large. I focus on weathering. I kind of go inky and messy with certain things. And his stuff was just, like, immaculate.
Yeah. You described your style as being kind of like Blanchitsu last night.
Yeah, I would say sort of halfway in between the sort of GW studio style and Blanchitsu. Mm-hmm.
And once you... That was the local store. And once you got to, like, the finals... Was there someone that you saw that you knew was from your area that you were really worried about?
I mean, I was largely just sort of freaking out in general for it. I felt super intimidated, by just a bunch of the boards. Obviously, the Captain Admet with his
Jake
floating,
up there with
his
freaking
floating
blimp.
Doom barge. Ugh. I was just like, oh my god, is that really the level of competition that was brought to this? Oh, goodness. And of course, just being intimidated because, as I said, I'm new back to this.
Yeah, you hadn't been in the hobby for how long before you came back in January?
Well, I'm 33 now.
Yeah.
I just came back in January, and the last time I'd painted a miniature before that, I was 20.
Wow. Okay. So what's that? 13 years?
Yep.
That's crazy.
It's a heck of a break.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yep. I still followed along with all the fiction, the developments, played the video games. I just didn't have time
for the hobby
proper.
So what faction has the best helmets in 40K?
Oh, the new Admech miniatures, 100%. The Vanguard helms are incredible, specifically because of the way in which, based on whether or not you shave certain pieces off, you can totally cut the like lower rebreather part on and weld that onto the lower part of a human head, and it has this incredibly medieval look. Not techie at all.
Yeah.
And also, based on how you vary the painting of them, where, you know, painting sort of like the recessed part darker and the more embossed part gold, you can get a helmet that reads so differently from an aesthetic, thematic standpoint. So I think they're those two, between the two head types, they're so ludicrously versatile. Mm. And it's why you see them show up so much with the other sort of Inquisitor 28 folk using them all over the place.
Yeah.
They're so versatile. That combined with the... And in terms of bodies right now, the Gene Stealer cultist bodies, through and through.
Everyone's
those can be turned into everything.
Yeah.
So I hope
you
GW...
You use a lot of them, right? In your,
And I hope GW recognizes this for when they eventually do some plastic guard. of some kind is recognizing that if they make a deference towards modularity in that design, the utility of that kit will be huge, because what makes AdMech and the Gene Stealer Cult stuff so great is that they're the same proportion and size sets, so you can freely mix and match them.
Yes.
If we get even two or three more human scale modular kits like that, the permutation space of what you're going to be able to model between those five will be preposterous.
Yes, I agree.
So,
I on the note of the Vanguard heads, I hated the Vanguard heads until someone said they're Adeptus Arbites. I'm like, oh my god, I love these all of a sudden. They're perfect. Yep. And that's when I really started to appreciate them. And I guess that's the diversity that you're talking about. How much you can get out of them. If Games Workshop hosted another Inner Circle competition, what force would you bring?
I don't know, because it's for the it would depend a lot on the time scale. You know, because there are certain things that I'm interested in doing that are very horde oriented, which is just not really feasible within a limited time span. If it's a limited time span contest, I'm going to be aiming for something that's about 50 to 60 miniatures instead of like 200.
Yeah. How many are in your force, roughly?
In your
entry. Yeah. Sorry. I was looking at the picture. Sorry, Chris. I was looking at the picture behind Chris's head.
I think it's like 60, maybe a little more.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so 60 or 70.
Yep. And before this morning when we all pre-ordered 8th edition, what was the last thing you bought from Games Workshop?
Oh, something boring. I just bought I bought more of the Sector Imperialis 32mm bases because I'm masochistic. The next thing that's being added to this is I wanted to do it for the contest, but didn't have enough time, is I want to do a Cult of Redemption as a conscript squad. So 50 men, completely unique miniature. No miniature repeat across the 50. I'm using old original Redemptionists, the super duper rare Fanatic Specialist Magazine metal Redemptionist, which I paid way too much money for off of eBay because they made like a couple hundred of those.
Yeah.
Chaos Cultists mixed around, some old Bretonian footmen, Empire Flagellants, and a couple other things mixed in.
Maybe now some of your brand new Poxwalkers out of your box. I don't know. They might be too poxy, but
we'll see. But and then led by a bunch of the other classic metal minis. I've got like the Confessor. I have the Redeemer and Malakhev models to go with it. So that'll be the next project. Is a bunch of 50 crazy people.
Nice.
For I think it's like 150 points.
And you needed the bases for that?
Yep. Yeah, because I'm mounting them all on 32s. Because fuck 25mm bases.
Yeah, it's going away.
Especially with all being metal models. On 25s, they fall over.
Yes.
On 32s, they don't.
That's
so
a good point.
So if you've got old pewter models that you love and you're putting together in your army, mount them on 32s and they won't fall over and get chipped.
Perfect.
So
I found a little bit of that in some of my tippier models. Like, I think the because I converted cultists, like chaos cultists, to be both neophytes and acolytes, and the neophytes are a little tippier because they hold stuff up. The acolytes, they're so solid on those bases because I put them on the larger bases, so they're not as tippy. Just a sec.
Because you're recording. Tim wants to know if you can send pictures.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. If we were at a shooting range, and you're an expert about these kinds of things, being someone who designs video games about trying out weapons. Oh, so maybe we should modify this.
No, I want to answer the original one.
If we were at a shooting range and I handed you a plasma pistol to shoot at a car 20 feet away, would you do it, knowing the likelihood of gets hot 1 in 6?
I wouldn't bother, because a coherent plasma bolt moving through just a one atmosphere, oxygen wouldn't remain coherent across 20 feet. Wouldn't even hit the car. So I wouldn't even bother.
Well, damn. Well done. My brother's going to be pissed. That was his question. If you had to choose a single large... You can't answer that way. You know. Okay.
I know my answer.
If you had to choose a single large-scale Age of Sigmar model to be your personal bodyguard slash mount in that universe, which would you choose, knowing that you can't choose Nagash as he's not meant for riding?
Insert answer here once there's a Bretonian equivalent in the game and I give a shit.
Ouch! They got that kind of griff thing. Isn't that a Bretonian sort of...
No, unless there's... friggin' Frenchmen who think too highly of themselves or something that looks like that, I don't care.
All right. And is there anything, do you have any, like, hobby accounts or anything like that that you wanted to plug? Like, do you have an Instagram, a Twitter, a Facebook?
I mean, I've got a YouTube channel.
Yeah. What's it called?
I actually need to double check. Like, I'm so used to logging into it as me, I don't actually bother seeing
it. I don't know my own phone number. Get it on the way out.
But I got, I'm part of a group of guys called Rust LTD. We're game developers and designers that have a game out for the HTC Vive called Hot Dogs, Horseshoes, and Hand Grenades. If you search for it, you'll find the game, and you'll find my YouTube channel. I do a weekly devlog on Fridays, sort of covering everything that is being added on a perpetual basis. We're in early access. We just pushed our either 39th or 40th update to the game. So, and it's other than hobbying, it is the perimeter and entirety of my existence.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks a lot, Anton.
Thank you.
Oh, you haven't heard all these questions. Good.
I have not.
Because there's some serious questions and there's some crazy weird questions. But my mic is here, so I'm going to... All right. So, could you please tell me your name, where you're based, and what army you submitted to the Inner Circle?
So, I'm Jacob Beachport. I'm based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And I submitted an ADMEC army.
What 40K costume could you believably pull off as a means of describing your appearance?
Like one I could make, or one that...
A cosplay that you can pull off.
Oh, that I could pull off?
Well, you'd have to actually wear.
A tech priest, because it hides my face. Or one of the new Sky Dwarves.
Sky Dwarves. Are you saying you're short, Jake?
I wouldn't say that I'm short.
I wouldn't say you're short.
But I wouldn't want to shave off my beard.
I wouldn't say you're dwarfish. Okay, nice. When did you get into 40K, and what got you started? Which army? Got you started, slash, what was your first one?
So there used to be a game store called Wizard's Wall across the street from my high school.
Yep.
And so at the... Probably the age of about 16, I just randomly walked over there and for some reason fell in love with it, and painted Space Marines, and painted them with Walmart paint, so they have no detail.
Oh.
They look worse than Duncan's. Like it was terrible.
Oh my god. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the oldest model on your Inner Circle board? Like, not oldest that you bought, but like oldest model range or something like that.
Oh wow.
Or something that you've had in a box forever.
No, there's nothing. It's all new.
Oh, because you're Age of Sigmar, right?
Yeah, I'm Age of Sigmar.
So was this
I did a lot of 40K. I mean, okay. I've had probably going on 7 armies through my history of playing. Yeah. No, the board, everything except for the Knight and the Scions was bought in February.
Wow.
And the Scions were bought, I want to say, 2 years ago.
Okay.
And same with the Knight. Yeah. So at most 2 years old. And then everything on the range is new release, modern release.
Nice, okay. Do you have a rough estimate? I've seen your work in progress. Do you have a rough estimate of how much time you spend on this board / army?
Unknown. I mean, I started on February and then...
What expletive would you use to describe the amount of time you spent on this army?
Are you going to beep it?
No.
Oh, God, just a metric fuck ton. Like, just an ungodly dying star fuck ton of time. Like... I probably should, like, be in shape or have learned how to oil paint like a master for the amount of time that I've put into this board.
Well, you are a master plastic card cutter now.
I am a master plastic card cutter.
Who's the one person who you wish could be here with you at GW HQ in Dallas?
Probably my friend Josh, because he would just spaz out a lot. He would play it cool, but inside he'd be screaming the entire time.
Nice. After this project, what do you never want to paint ever again?
Red.
Pewter. Love it, hate it, never touch the stuff.
Don't really care. You know, been doing this for so long that it's just a different set of tools. Like, I've JB welded together old Bloodthirster. I know how to do that. I've put together my fair share of old steam tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Never again. So I really don't care. As long as I'm not trying to mix it with plastic, because that always just ends up as a failure for some reason.
Yeah. What unit or element on your board are you most in love with that you don't think people will notice?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a hard one. Because probably like the Age of Sigmar head swap on the Infiltrators, like the Sigmarite head swap, no one ever points it out. I thought it was one of those like happy accident moments.
really everything else people notice when they see it.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty extreme level of conversion.
But sometimes it's like, they're like, oh my god, you've got a floating death barge above this giant thing. And things. You're like, yeah, but there's a guy standing under there. Like, why didn't you look at the guy?
No one ever notices the fact that the barge is actually, like, picking up a chainsword from a knight.
It is?
It is.
I did not
know. No one notices it because it's directly under the barge and all the shadow. And, like, the vanguard are around it. So, like, no one notices it.
Okay. What is your favorite 40K Xenos race? Or who would you most want to dissect?
Like, as an Inquisitor?
Well, it's like if you really hate Xenos that much. But if you have a favorite Xenos race, what's your favorite Xenos race?
Well, if I have a favorite, it's Tyranid.
Tyranids?
Yeah, yes. I love Tyranids. I've always wanted to build a Tyranid army, but I can never get in the fluff. Like, they talk about the Lictor infestation with Marlocks, and, like, and like it just wasn't a viable list, so I never built it. And that's all I want.
Can we do that now? Well, it's
Play,
right?
You totally can.
Okay.
So I've always actually wanted to build a Gene Stealer cult army with Lictors and Marlock. Nice. Like, but you can't do that, allies of things.
Well,
you
right?
used to not to.
Gene Stealer cult has Tyranids on their info cards now. I don't know what that means.
I'm hoping it means that we can take them, because that they're totally be painting Tyranid.
That would be cool. Which other Inner Circle army were you most worried about losing to, like, in your store? Most people
I was
going to
say
this,
yours, but then...
we weren't the same guy. Most people have answered, like, at the store level, and then they've answered, like, once they got to, like, the final, and they saw those, like, final 15 posted.
So, like... It's weird, because of the way that Inner Circle was set up, if you went to all three events,
yes,
you pretty much had it in the bag.
Well, you got a lot of points.
You had enough to
pull it out to get past
right,
it.
And just our store didn't have the participation level that paying attention to who entered,
okay,
like, those points. I was like, I think I accidentally, no matter what I brought, I would have won just to, like, I brought enough figures.
Because other people had not.
Because other people had not come to it. And two or three of the guys that, like... are on that will do a big project never showed like they said they might participate so
oh
like,
and they just didn't
they never showed up to the events, so I was like, well, I'm gonna beat them in their asses if they do, because I've got all the events. So
that's
I really didn't worry about local,
because there are like, I've heard from people, and like someone else was talking about it, that there's people who are like, well, why would I even bother doing this? But the fact that you could get so many points from just showing up at events,
my coworker actually, this guy named Dave, like, was gonna enter, same thing, just doesn't, time was against him, but like, he totally could have brought 18 units painted from scratch, like, with some conversions, and would have been right there with me, like, no matter what the skill of the painter is. So
I guess there wasn't, like, points wise rubric wise there wasn't as much competition at your local store, but once you saw, like, the finalist, was there another army that you knew was from your area that you were like, oh shit,
there were,
or one that you really, like, love or think could have gone all the way?
The orc army that's also here.
Yeah.
Trying to remember the entries.
Well, if nothing stands.
Oh, no. Let me look up his name really quick.
Okay.
Because, like, and I feel like he just slipped my brain.
Yeah.
Had this really nice light up board. So he goes under DA 40K Orcs, and it was his board.
Yes.
He's from Oregon.
Was it an orc board? Or?
No, it was actually a dropship, like, Space Marine Inner Circle themed board.
Yeah, and that lit up?
Yeah, this whole thing lights.
It looks like there's, like, a river in there of lava that lights up. There's like a lava pool. There's, like, some... There's a drop pod there, and there's Dark Angels kicking around?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But, I mean, like, he's got everything definitely on the point value-wise, and, like, his painting's good. It's just... Nope. He didn't make the final 15 cut.
So you guys having fun, man? Is it all good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
I'm doing dorky interviews with everybody.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we're doing, like, I have, like, serious questions about Inner Circle, and then I have, like, fun questions, like, what Warhammer mount would you want to ride or something like that?
I don't answer that, too.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm just doing Jake's right now.
Oh, what Warhammer mount would you want to ride?
Yeah.
What would you want to ride?
Archon's already on it, man.
Oh, well,
there you go. Well, I'll get to that.
What faction has the best helmets in 40K?
Ooh, best helmets. In 40K, I still think Agmechs do because of the UFO helmet.
Yeah.
Like, I love the one I bought at all the
weird
scouts
one that goes on the Rust Stalkers.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hate that helmet.
Did
so
you
much.
Notice all of the scouts have them?
Yes, like, it looks
all...
good on yours, but I don't know. I just think they look like Alpha from Power Rangers.
Yeah, exactly.
Stand it. All right, if Games Workshop hosted another Inner Circle competition, what force would you bring?
Ooh, that's a good one. For what's out right now, it would either be probably either Tyranid or Tau.
Okay.
Because I've got color scheme ideas for a Tau army painted in the Monaco race colors. That blue and orange from the Formula One.
I don't know. Okay.
It's this, like, baby blue, neonish tone and this orange tone. But if you did really clean line,
yes.
Like, I think it would make a beautiful Tau army.
So, and you're a Sigmar guy. So if there was Inner Circle Sigmar, what would you bring? Have to do it new, so you can't say you're new.
No, it would probably be Sky Dwarves, which I can never remember their name.
Caradrons.
Caradrons.
There's R's and D's in there.
Just for the excuse to paint a bunch of blimps and clouds and things.
Other than 8th edition, which we all pre-ordered this morning, what was the last thing you bought from Games Workshop? Well, not 8th edition. What was the last thing you went in and bought from the Games Workshop store?
The rule book for the Sky Dwarves.
Oh, okay.
Like, I actually picked that up the other day.
That's good. That's the answer. If you were at a shooting range and I handed you a plasma pistol to shoot at a car 20 feet away, would you do it, knowing the likelihood of gets hot?
Yes, but I would use my non-dominant right hand.
Oh, smart!
Like, that would definitely... And it would be the English style of shooting, like the straight
as
out...
As far away from your body, like, as possible. Other hand shielding your face.
Shielding my face, like, yeah. Okay. But I would... why would you not? Like, why would you not?
And if you had to choose a single large-scale Age of Sigmar model to be your personal bodyguard slash mount in that universe, which would you choose, keeping in mind you can't say Nagash as he's not meant for riding?
No, it would be Karos Fayweaver.
Oh, the...
Like, the Zeech-named character, the two-headed Lord of Change.
Two-headed Lord of Change, yeah.
Because, one, he's totally not a mount.
Yeah.
So I would have to, like, ride between his wings like Falcor or some crap in Neverending Story.
Yes, between his two heads.
Yeah, exactly. And just, like, have you ever seen Baron von Munchausen?
Yes.
It's the same thing, like, his weird multi-headed bird.
Yeah.
And then you could just point at things for him to turn to tangerines. Like, you could just... You should be like, you need to change that into a dog. And, you know, because he's...
Nice.
Why would you not?
So that's all the questions I have, but do you have social media accounts where people can follow you, your hobby progress?
I do. I'm at Shady Rabbit on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm the same thing on Instagram. I'm either at Shady Rabbit or the Shady Rabbit on Instagram.
The Shady Rabbit.
Yeah, sweet.
So. Oh, you've got them written down. Look
yeah,
at
I've got them written down.
That is a prepared interviewer right there. Bit.
Chris.
These are prepared questions.
Yeah, so could you give me your name, where you're based, and what army you submitted for Inner Circle?
So I'm Chris Donahue. I'm out of Seattle, Washington, and my army was the Orc Army.
Awesome. And what 40K costume could you believably pull off as a way of describing your appearance? The cosplay.
For cosplay?
Something like that.
Probably just an Imperial Guard. I'm scraggly and bony in places and chubby in others, so yeah, I could really work that one well.
Okay. When did you get into 40K and what got you started?
So I got into 40K about 5 years ago when I moved from Vegas up to Seattle. My wife was tired of me spending all my time playing video games online and talking to people that weren't there. So she thought it'd be a great way for me to get out and meet new people. Little did she realize it involved me sitting at home talking to myself.
And which army did you start with?
Orcs.
Orcs? Awesome. Okay. Which you brought for this. So did we say that? Yeah, we did say that for the first one. Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Be a professional.
Sorry.
What's going on?
So what is the oldest model on your Inner Circle board?
The oldest model on my Inner Circle board is probably the boys that came with... A couple of boys that came with the Assault on Black Reach set.
Okay. Do you have a rough estimate of how much time you spent on this board or army?
Oof. 3 years, basically, from start to... Some of these are some of my first models, and then some of them, like, my newest knight conversion is since the beginning of March.
Okay. So 3 years. Wow, okay. Who's the one person who you wish could be here with you at Dallas HQ?
As far as, like, people I know or people...
Yeah, people you know.
Probably my wife, because she's... I don't believe I'm very good at this. I look at what you guys have done, and I'm like, why am I here? I don't belong here. And she's my biggest cheerleader, so whenever I start to doubt myself, she's the one that says, no, you're fine, don't worry.
You're very lucky to have that. I have a similar thing, and it's amazing.
Then there are the days where we go to the store, and she sees what I want to buy, and takes my wallet and walks out, so I can't do anything. So, yeah.
Okay. So she's managing your hobby for you.
She is.
Very helpfully.
She's the management side of things. I'm just the brawn, really.
Okay. After this project, what do you never want to paint again?
this project.
Like, is there anything that was so frustrating or repetitive? You're like, I never want to paint another blank for as long as I live.
You know, it's funny because I go through phases where I paint lots of one thing because I'll to evolve my painting. Yes. And I really am sick and tired of Meganops. And I love Meganops, but I'm tired of having to fight with especially the back of the leg where the pants come in. I hate that. It sucks so bad.
Yeah.
But so that's been the hardest part is kind of doing that. But I'll go on these binges where I'm just like, I don't want anything to do with orc. Just get all the green paint off and give me something else and switch to something else entirely.
Yes.
And then something like this will happen where I'm like, well, let's bring these guys back out. And it's kind of cool because then you can get to go in and revisit some things. So,
yeah. Awesome.
I talk about that frequently on my own podcast.
Tell me about it, Chris.
Why, that's the Secret Society of Booze and Letters. You can find us at boozeandletters.com.
Secret Society of Booze and Letters. I love that. Is it a Warhammer podcast or is it
an
Everything podcast?
No, it's an Everything podcast. And every once in a while I go on these little rants. And I have my own little section now called Watching Paint Dry with Murphy. And it's a blast. And I've got a bunch of videos that are going up very soon.
Oh, cool. Videos too. Awesome. Pewter. Love it. Hate it. Never touch the stuff.
It's a love-hate relationship. I've done a couple of pewter models as a commission, so I was very... Whenever you do a commission, you're always like, please don't... Can I curse?
Of course, yes.
Please don't fuck this up. Somebody just paid me to do this. Please don't fuck this up.
Yeah.
And you work with it, and you're like, okay, this is great, and put it down, and run away quickly.
Yeah.
So it depends. Most of the time, for me personally, I don't have any pewter models, yes. But in dealing with them, there's a lot of emotion and side stuff involved with it.
Perfect, okay. And what unit or element of your board are you most in love with that you don't think people will notice?
So I have some little Gretchens hiding in places that I will very frequently put and run them as boys because the two games that I've played, because they really desperately want to be boys. And I don't have it with me, but I have a converted Storm Talon that's got a orc bomb hanging off of it on rope. And there's a Gretchen on there, and he's cutting... cutting the rope.
Amazing.
Yeah, his name's Bad Decision Ed. And
on the bomb cutting the rope.
Yes, on the back of it sitting there. Yeah, not many people notice him, but he's the one that really sticks out for me.
Wicked, okay. This one's going to be easy. This is for these Imperial landlubbers. What is your favorite 40K Xenos race?
Orcs.
Yeah.
They're the best. I mean, how do you go wrong with a race of beings? If enough of them believe something to be true, it becomes true.
That's pretty good. Which other Inner Circle army were you most worried about losing to? Like another one in your area? Did you go and look at other entries or ones in your store?
I did. There was a Ravenwing.
Yeah.
That when we did the popular vote, I actually voted for.
Yeah.
It was an amazing model set. The guy did brilliant blending, and with it all being black armor with white highlights, you don't think you're going to get all that out of that. But the way that he did the blending on the airbrush blends. Beautiful. And he came in second place. I beat him by 49 points.
Wow.
That's okay. It.
Which isn't that much in Inner Circle because there was a lot of points there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
The popularity was 25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. There was similarly a Raven Guard player at my Games Workshop who he's come out to Arby's on Parade and I just really respect his stuff. Like it's so good, and he puts so much thought into it, and he's got like narrative behind it. Like he's got female Marines in his army, and he's got this huge like fluff backstory for why there are female Marines in his Raven Guard.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to beat me, and I think the only reason he didn't is because he painted a lot of his stuff for Inner Circle. Yeah.
A lot of the guys who came out, it was so cool to see people that had really never painted much before, and then some of the guys that were veterans had been there. There was a guy there who had a big Nurgle board that was beautiful, and it was just great to see everyone come out. And I didn't think I was going to win the local contest. I thought, no, I don't have a chance.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I'm not going to win this contest. And there are so many...
Was there anyone in like the finalists that you saw who you're like, well, damn, like,
well,
I'm screwed?
Yeah, yours.
We weren't in the same category.
No, but still, yours. There was a Skitari. The guy from Linwood, Washington, actually won, and there was a Skitari one that he did. I was like, "There's no way I'm beating that out."
Yeah.
And just so many great. I don't even think I belong to be here, to tell you the truth.
Well, you're here, so accept and move on.
I know. It was so many great entries.
Okay.
You know.
What faction has the best helmets in 40K?
The best helmets. I got to go with Space Marines just because they have – there's so many different variations in the helmets, especially between, you know, like Space Wolves and you know, the beaky Raven helmet and stuff. There's a – I think those ones are probably the best.
And which Marine helmet do you love the most? You can just describe like a
– Probably the Space Wolf helm.
Yeah. Nice. All right. If Games Workshop had another Inner Circle competition, what force would you bring?
Imperial Fists.
Really? You want to paint yellow?
Yeah, that's my big challenge right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's not easy. So, I mean, if I'm going to repeat, I might as well repeat with something really worthy.
And your Marine that you painted for us was an Imperial Fist?
Yep. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that'll serve as my inspiration for, like, the next year.
There you go. What was the last thing you bought from... Oh, okay. Before all of us pre-ordered the edition this morning, what was the last thing you bought from Games Workshop most recently?
The Caradron Overlord Outriggers. How do you go wrong with Dwarven Sky Pirate Steampunk?
Nice. I can't think of a way. If we were at a shooting range and I handed you a plasma pistol to shoot at a car 20 feet away, would you do it, knowing the likelihood of Gets Hot 1 in 6? This was written before 8.
Probably, but I'd do that pose that the model has where the guy's got it out and he's got his hand in front of it and he's turning his head away. I'd probably pull one of those.
Okay. And final question. If you had to choose a single large-scale Age of Sigmar model to be your personal bodyguard in that universe, which would you choose? And you can't say Nagash because he's not meant for riding. So mount or bodyguard?
Probably the... I don't know a lot of the Age of Sigmar stuff. I'm terrible.
Well, you could just be like the one that looks like this.
The giant beetle.
Yes. Ilariel,
yes.
That who it is? Ilariel and her giant beetle?
Yeah, the giant beetle, because then you have a great mount and a bodyguard. Who's going to screw with a giant beetle?
Nobody. And it's got plenty of that armor. Yeah. That's all I have, Chris. Is there anything you said you wanted to plug your podcast?
Yeah, so Secret Society of Booze and Letters and boozeandletters.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
So our last interview is with Tim Trentacost, who won at the New York store with his Gathering Storm army. Unfortunately, Tim's son's birthday was the exact same day as Inner Circle, and he had to miss the beginning of that day to come and hang out with all of us down in Dallas, but he left early to make it back in time for his son's 4th birthday, which is a great reason to take off early, but it meant that I couldn't interview him at the actual event. So what follows is Tim interviewing himself. Thank you so much for recording your answers, Tim, and sending them in. And here you go.
Hi, my name is Tim Trentacost. I'm based out of New Jersey. I entered the Inner Circle contest in New York, though, as we don't have a GW store in Jersey. The army that I submitted was based around the fall of Cadia, kind of continuing the story on. So essentially, after it ended, I continued it on where instead of letting Abaddon regroup and take the fight back to the Imperium, the Primarch of the Ultramarines, however you pronounce his name, Guilliman, he went and sought out Dante, the greatest hero in the Imperium, and he was basically giving him a kill team to go and hunt down Abaddon. Well, that's it. So had some Eldari, Black Templars, Blood Angels, Sisters of Silence, a ton of guys in there. What 40K costume could I believably pull off? I mean, maybe an orc costume. They're usually wearing t-shirts and some ripped up shorts. And that's usually what I am bumming around in. So I'd have to say an orc. Although I'd love to say Primaris Marine as a... You know, I'm pretty sure they designed those after me, bigger, stronger, and faster. But in reality, yeah, it would have to be an orc costume. Ripped up shorts and a raggedy t-shirt. I got into 40K in the mid-90s. I didn't start playing until a few years ago when I met the North Jersey Wargamers, and they were willing to teach me how to play. But as far as painting, lore, fluff, all that good stuff, mid-90s, and I've been painting non-stop ever since. What got me started was I was in a baseball card store, comic book store, and back then GW used to give out free catalogs. So I snagged one. I was looking through it. I saw a dreadnought, and it just looked really badass, and I wanted to give it a shot. So that's basically, I went back to the store, and that's what got me hooked, was the catalog that they would give out. The oldest model on my Inner Circle board has to be Dante, and he's not that old, because I had gone and updated my whole army about 3 or 4 years ago. I'd seen that all the reds really didn't match and looked kind of terrible, so I went back and repainted all my Blood Angels. So Dante, the model itself, is pretty old. He hasn't had a resculpt in a while. I'd say I've had it for like 10 years, but the paint job is only about 2 years old. The rest of the models were pretty much new. I really poured a lot of time into getting this thing finished. I'd say 70 to 100 hours in, and even that's probably being conservative. I don't have an airbrush, or I didn't at the time, so everything was done with a brush, so it really was time consuming. The one person I wish could be with me at GW headquarters in Dallas, it would have to be my son Benjamin. It's his birthday today. He turns the big 4, and yeah, kind of sucks that I was out here for that. This was kind of a once in a lifetime, so the whole family agreed I should get out here, but felt really guilty about it. So if I could have brought anybody with me, it would be Ben. But I will see him tonight, and we'll get to celebrate in style. What do I never want to paint again? I don't know. I pretty much enjoy everything, but I guess on these Harlequins, I really have to tip my hat to everyone that does all these checkerboards, or whatever they're called, the Argyle pattern freehand. That pretty much drove me nuts trying to make that look right on like the Death Jester and all those models where their legs were bended. But I guess, yeah, that would have to be it, just those Argyle patterns. Pewter, I hate it. It sucks. The paint always rubs off. I mean, it's cool to hold the model with weight, but when you compare it to these new models, these plastic kits, I mean, it's just, I don't know how you'd ever want to work with it. I remember doing an Ulrich conversion where I had to Dremel the damn head out. It sucked. Yeah, so pewter, hate it. I'm most in love with on my board. I don't know. That's tough. I really love the whole board. I put a lot of time into it. Maybe the tile floors where I hand-painted the checker pattern. It took a long time. Once I started it, I kind of wished I didn't. But I really thought that came out cool. And the glow effect on all the lights. I guess those are the ones I really like, but this board I had used for Armies on Parade, so again, I didn't have to redo a whole board for this. I kind of lucked out in that department. My favorite 40k Xenos race. I have a soul, so I guess it wouldn't be the Eldari. I hate playing against them. I guess it would be the Orcs. They're just too cool, you know? Kind of have that whole hooligan mentality. They're just, they're really fun, and the other Inner Circle army that I was most worried about losing to, I don't know. There are a lot of great entries. Not because this is your podcast, but yours was killer. Just a bunch of the other guys, really. They all look good. But I wasn't really keeping tabs on anyone else's at the store itself. There were a few really good entries. One guy, Thomas, had a beautiful Dark Angels army. And another guy from the Brookhammer crew, he had a beautiful Imperial Guard there, but I really wasn't worried about anyone just because I was really focused on trying to get my stuff done. I mean that humbly. I'm not saying that thinking I was going to beat everyone. I just really wasn't able to keep tabs on everyone. The faction with the best helmets in 40K, that's pretty tough. I'm actually going to get more specific than that. I would stick with Space Marines. I guess I'm kind of a fanboy. I would go with Chaplains. I mean, nothing beats those skull helmets. They're just too cool. I guess that's the inner dork in me, thinking that, you know, a skull helmet's the coolest thing ever, but it really was, even back in the day. They just stood out, and I'm going to go with Chaplains. If GW had another Inner Circle competition, I don't know. Maybe Space Wolves would be the force that I bring. I'm going to do Orcs for Armies on Parade, and I don't like really repeating. Maybe I just go all out on Sisters of Silence. Yeah, so I guess Space Wolves or Sisters of Silence, or maybe Chaos. Jesus, this is the problem. This is why my backlog's so big. Yeah, I can't really answer that question right now. Too many good ones out there. And who knows? Maybe it'll be a new race by then. So I guess it's a surprise right now. The last thing that I bought from GW was something for this Inner Circle competition. I think it was a Wraithlord for the Eldari. A model that I always wanted to paint but never got around to. So if I was at a shooting range and you handed me a plasma pistol, I would definitely shoot at a car 20 feet away, even with the gets hot chance, you know, that 1 in 6. I have a pretty good life insurance policy, so the kids and the wife would be taken care of. You know, that's just too cool of a thing to pass up. And if I had to choose a single large-scale Age of Sigmar model to be my personal bodyguard, large scale's tough. If it was regular scale, I would pick the Green Knight, as I'm in love with him right now. That's too tough. I'd have to go with Nagash. You took him out of there. So, yeah, I have no answer for that one. I'm sorry. I would still pick the Green Knight. He's too badass. So, that's my answer. I appreciate you having me on the podcast. Can't wait to check it out and hear what all the other winners said. And good luck with the rest of them. All right, talk to you soon. Thanks.
You've been listening to Xenos Alchemists. Thank you for your time. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back soon. If you wanted to leave any comments or any suggestions for future episodes, you can follow us on Twitter at Xenos Alchemists, or you could shoot them at Mr. Pink on Twitter at MOD_SYNTH. That's at MOD_synth on Twitter, or at Modern Synthesist on Instagram. Or there's also Modern Synthesist on Tumblr. Or another good place to leave comments is on the blog post about this podcast on the Modern Synthesis website, which is at modernsynthesist.com.
You have been dispatched to the Artemis sector to address a growing Xenos threat. The Omega Collective appears as a typical industrial corporation in service to the Adeptus Mechanicus, and it has been an exemplar of production. However, our operatives have succeeded in piercing this facade and have discovered the Omega Collective to be none other than a malignant arm of a gene stealer called the Omega Strain. A great deal of information comes from Ordo's, Xenos, Inquisitor, Praxis Mang, whose devotion to this particular gene stealer cult borders on an obsession. Though Praxis has dutifully provided a wealth of information on the Omega Strain, we advise you to exercise a healthy amount of skepticism when reviewing his observations contained herein. The Inquisitor has been a true and loyal servant of the Emperor, but his unorthodox beliefs about the depth and breadth of this particular cult have led us to launch an internal investigation into Praxis's reliability. If the investigation yields any startling information, you will be immediately notified of our concerns. Should his unorthodox postulations ever be proven, the Omega Strain could well be a Xenos threat with a level of coordination we may not be prepared to face. Regardless, I urge you to use the information contained herein to aid you in birding this vile Xenos strain with Pretinorum Maximus before its expeditionary tendrils completely seize this vile. Xenos Alchemist Minoris Pinkerton, observant to Ordo Xenos Inquisitor, Calabrese.